This is Sports Content Kings, talking to today's brightest minds in sports and entertainment.
Welcome to Sports Content Kings, brought to you by WSC Sports, a podcast dedicated to today's brightest minds in sports, figuring out the latest trends and technologies shaping the industry. I'm Aviv, one of the founders of WSC Sports and Chief Business Development Officer. Happy to be here together with my brother.
And I'm Shaka, VP Business Development at WSC Sports. We are the Arnon Brothers, and today we are joined by Hania Poole. She's the SVP of Digital and Product at TNT Sports, formerly known as Warner Brothers Discovery Sports. This has been a great conversation. We thank Hania for coming and joining us, and we hope you all enjoy. All right, Aviv, good to see you again for another episode. How have you been?
Good to see you too. I'm good. Been around traveling a bit, but back in the office.
All right. Aviv, I'm excited to introduce our guest, Hania Poole. Hania, how's it going?
It's great. Good to see you all.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Good to see you.
It has. It has. Feels like a long time ago when we were together in the Ops Center.
So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we can reminisce about that a little bit. Shaka, when you and I started running around in the U.S., that was one of the big milestones, spending a couple weekends over there.
Yeah, one of the big early steps of our company. But Hania, I think it would be good for our audience to hear a little bit about yourself, for you to introduce yourself in a few sentences. So I'm going to let you.
Yes, happy to. So Hania Poole, I am the SVP of Digital and Product for Warner Brothers Discovery Sports, which has been known as many things over the past few years, Warner Media Sports, Turner Sports. But along the way, I've been here for about, let's see, I was counting it up the other day, I think 12 years in sports. And I've been involved in our properties on the golf side to begin with, and then added March Madness, and then added NBA, and then added Bleacher Report. So I've seen it all. And now with our acquisition of some NASCAR rights, I'll probably see NASCAR again. So we're going back to the future because NASCAR was one of Turner Sports' first properties. So yeah, it's exciting and always changing.
And that's, Hania, everything digital, right? Digital, yeah. Products, experience.
Right. It's P&L in many cases where we have a joint venture with the different leagues. So that would be NCAA, March Madness, CBS, Paramount, and the NBA for NBA Digital. So yeah, I oversee the business side as well as product operations, design, those functions.
You have like an exciting career story. Like you started, what did you start with? And I know now you're overseeing all these businesses.
I'll add to that because it's been a long time and people sometimes struggle to remember, you know, digital, right? We've always had sports on digital. When you started, it was early steps is an understatement, and the amount of changes and revolutions that happened. So
maybe built a website, yeah. And now you're building a multifaceted product. So yeah.
Right, exactly. Exactly. People seem to forget about the web, but web's alive and well. So yeah, it's a good story. I mean, what I'll say and I'll brag about a little bit in terms of our company, and I think I have every right to do this. It's not a plug for our company, but we had CNN.com here for many years ago, from the very beginning in the advent of web, and it was really transformational for our company. And our leaders back in the early 2000s saw the digital trend coming. And when I say our leaders, everybody really, but really our sports leaders. And so when they went out to leagues like NASCAR, like PGA, like PGA Tour, they didn't only negotiate rights for the cable channels, they also negotiated digital rights. And at that time, technology was still not commoditized. And so they knew that we could extend the CNN platform to start streaming sports online. Right. And so it's awesome. I mean, it's the definition of Ted Turner. It's an innovation and starting early. And so that was way before I was in sports, but we started that in 2000. Gosh, I think it was 2004 with NASCAR, maybe even earlier than that with PGA, but early 2000s. So before iPhone, if you can imagine, right?
Way before.
Yeah, I know. So, and then they just kept building on that because the technology wasn't commoditized and we were in a place to be a true partner to these leagues to extend them onto these various platforms. And so when I came into sports, I started in the PGA business, and we had certainly a website, but we had already started, it was 2009 when we started to have sports on iPhones at that time, which was just unheard of, right? It's streaming on iPhone, the PGA Championship and Ryder Cup. And then that expanded into Android, which was like a beast in and of itself to start on that platform. And then over the years, now with March Madness Live, you know, we're across 18, 19 platforms delivering great sports, great content with you all. I mean, all the way across. And, you know, it's been exciting. I think you have to be really open to growth and fun, but you also have to be open to failure, because as you all well know, in digital, like, it's not the well-oiled machine even today that cable is in some ways. So there are going to be failures along the way, but you have to be up for that ride.
In many ways, cable was one size fits all, right? You put your stuff on TV and, you know, either you're on board or you're not coming as a viewer, as a fan. And on digital, it's a lot more endless buffet, right? And people are trying, you know, for me, as someone who has a weakness for buffets, and I'm getting out with a plate too full, three layers of stuff. So it's much harder. It's much harder to tailor to everyone's wants and needs and requests and the feedback, and things can go very right, and things can go sometimes wrong. So it's very interesting.
I'd add, it's not just a editorial and like a broadcast challenge here. It's a full experience. It's a product. You basically are a product manager, solution architect, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Deliver experiences.
Very much so. I would say what's also interesting, and I've had to open my eyes over the past few years, is that what product means for Bleacher Report is very different than what product means for March Madness Live or NBA League Pass. It is more editorial, Aviv, because it is ultimately content creator at its core. And Bleacher has to fight for attention. The other ones, you have live exclusive rights. So it's kind of like, okay, you know, not that it's not hard. It's just you have live exclusive rights, and Bleacher has to fight for attention and fight for mind share and fight for people's eyeballs. So
bring an edge.
Exactly. And so I think my product expertise and knowledge and my teams has had to evolve with that addition of Bleacher Report for sure.
Why don't we talk for a bit about like March Madness and how, and then year over year, I know you have like massive like changes and improvements and goals that have broken some crazy industry records with March Madness Live and with the experience, both business and product wise. And then now that you're overseeing, later we'll talk about like how that then adding Bleacher and everything, you become a year-round challenge and not just like one thing that you work towards every March versus an ongoing.
That yearly cadence, and just to give maybe a brief description, you have such a sheer volume of games, especially in the early rounds, and people want to be involved and everything. The volume is so big, it's hard for people to watch everything. And traditionally it was, you either follow one of the four channels that show it, and now you wanted to create a new experience with the March Madness Live app. So how did you go about it, and where are you today? Where are you going with it? So
for anybody of our audiences that doesn't know, maybe let's describe for a second March Madness Live and the yearly.
What college basketball tournament is. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Especially for those who are maybe more global and don't care about college basketball in the U.S. So yeah, March Madness is this wonderful kind of major sporting event in the U.S. that really is unique and beautiful in the sense that it's the single elimination tournament that is kind of framed up with a bracket. So you have this massive bracket with 67 teams, and they can only lose once. And they kind of make their way over the course of 3 weeks to the championship called the Final Four, which is like, you know, you all have maybe experienced that. So it's wonderful. And then there's a winner and they take home everything. And it's just this, it's an event in the U.S., right? I mean, I think at one point or even now, like I can tell you that 180 million people across the US watch some kind of live programming from March Madness. So that tells you it's in the fabric of our culture, much more so than kind of any other individual sporting event. And that's because there is like fun bracket games. There's, you know, people play games, people bet a lot, for better and for worse. So it really is kind of tied into the fabric of our culture here. And so honestly, when I got this assignment years ago, it's like the best thing I could have had in my whole career. I'll never forget it. I literally jumped up and down in my kitchen when I got this job because I did go to Duke. So I'm a huge college basketball fan. This is like my passion area. And what's interesting is we acquired the rights. Our first tournament was in 2011. I wasn't involved until 2013 tournament. But we had a shared team working on the video and the apps, right? And what that meant is they had kind of their jobs that they did most of the year, and then they'd stop, and then they'd work on March Madness and the apps for like a period of 4 or 5 months. And then the tournament would happen and they all go back to their jobs. And we had a product leader at the time before me who said, this isn't the right way to do product. If we're planning on growing this audience and growing the revenue, we have to have a dedicated team. Like this has to be something they obsess about. And so thankfully that was the right vision and the company got behind it. And we broke out the team to be truly focused year round on a 3-week tournament, which is really, you know, you're like, why? But the level of accuracy and performance that has to happen in those 3 weeks to deliver audience and deliver revenue is very high. And so you do need dedication and you do need focus. And so I think WSC, you guys came to us maybe in 2014?
Yeah, started 14, 15, and I think 16 we started, 17 we were sitting with you, I think.
Correct. Oh, yeah. So I think what's cool about this team and this product is that we do introduce new features every year and we go get better and we go deeper. And part of that is expanding audience and revenue, right? Because those are obviously our two business goals. But also, just from a leadership perspective, if you think about it, a lot of the team needs to be motivated to do something new. I mean, they literally work on these products every single year. And so introducing new features, new capabilities, new ways to grow audience is incredibly important every year. And because of that, and I'm totally biased when I say this, but I think it's like the shining star in our digital portfolio. I really do, because it's the right way to do product.
And I think like from us working with a lot of sports and sports tournaments and organizations and leagues all over the world, this is a very unique, there's nothing like that, like of a team that works on a product for a year long to just have it running for 3 weeks. And with the attention and the importance of it in the American culture, it's also worth it business-wise, right? It's a very unique product and situation, and you're getting millions of users racking up towards the tournament and then winding down for the remaining 11 months, right? So it's a
right, exactly.
Yeah, very professional team, and it's a pleasure every year. Again, that annual cadence is something that's pretty unique and a lot of fun for us because we have things that are short term and medium term and long term, and we can plan with the March Madness Live team. It's always fun.
Every time we show, we need to come back to you with like, here's the latest developments and things that we could do, new formats. What are we going to implement this year?
And honestly, what you all do is you help us innovate, right? Because you all are thinking about your own product and where it's going. And it oftentimes lines up with the entire sports world, right? So like, I think we were one of your first partners, if I'm not mistaken. I think Pete Scott made that introduction. And like, because you think of your product with a sports lens a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, it just fits so well into what we do. And you guys are truly innovating at a furious pace.
Thank you, and proud of it, and proud to be that your partner in doing so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So outside of March Madness Live, which is, as you said, one of the shining stars of the sports industry and the experience that it gives, can we talk a little bit about the huge amount of products and stuff that you are in charge of. What have you seen? What have you done in the last, let's say, year or two, and what's coming as 2024 progresses? Talking about Bleacher and a merger between, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery now.
You're throwing everything in this question.
No, so we can we can start there and then see where it takes us. You know, we can focus on one and move to the next.
Sure, yeah. I'll start with Bleacher because that's really dominated the last 2 years of my life. I think Bleacher has been 2 years now. I can't even remember, but I think around 2 years I've been in this role over product for Bleacher. And it's been fascinating. I mean, I go back to the fact that like Bleacher has to fight for mindshare, right? And so they don't have, I mean, they certainly have some wonderful, unique programming, but it's not, you know, March Madness, the tournament, like, you know, all of that. So what happens there, I think, is that you have to think about how product and content interact and how you can really create products that engage. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think our CEO, but I don't know if you know Bennett Spector, he oversees Bleacher now. He has a vision for Bleacher Report that really centers around creators, right? And taking advantage of the creator trend, which I think is fascinating because that's the genesis of Bleacher Report, right? If you think back to the, you know, 2000s, it was like giving the fan the power to report, but it was all text, right? And now we're in a totally different world and people can create video. And so that's where Bleacher is going and has gone the past year. And as a product team, we are obsessing over creators and what does it mean to be a platform for creators and how do fans engage in this content and how can we make sure that it's discoverable so fans can engage at the most deep levels. So it's been definitely an evolution and learning curve, lots of things, and challenging. But I always say Bleacher's the hardest product, but Bleacher's also the most fun because it's the challenge.
I love the fact that, you know, the bottom up 2.0, if you will, instead of text, it's now video. And I love that. And we've been doing a few interesting things in that realm as well. And we can further discuss it. But really interesting. And I think really goes with the Bleacher history and brand. It's exciting what they're going to come up with.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting. And now, can you tell us? The company as a company has been changing massively. Like you had the merger, you had consolidation, I guess, across departments, and there's different, it's become with Discovery. Now you have maybe even a bigger, even global footprint. I don't know how it impacts you. Different brands. We work with some of your subsidiaries in South America and some in Europe and everything. So like, how does that work for you? Can you tell us about what's been going on?
Yeah. So today I'm not super involved in global, but I will tell you that what was very clear very early on with this merger was that this is a global company, more so than it was previously. I think Discovery, not only in sports, because Discovery has a wonderful portfolio, had a wonderful portfolio and still does internationally, but really just the company itself is quite global. And so for me, I think that creates opportunity for all of us, right, to understand the international space. And it's so silly when we say global because like every market is so different from one another. And within those markets, there are countries that are different in languages. And so, but I do believe that it's going to take a while for us to think about legacy, like Warner Media folks, to really think about what it means to be global and what we can do to expand our business that way. And I will say, so we, you know, obviously we were Warner Media, but we were actually Time Warner, right? Then we were Warner Media and AT&T, and then we were just Warner Media, and then we were Warner Brothers Discovery. And here we are. And listen, like, I will say it's been a challenge from a leadership perspective to keep people, retain people, manage through change at the rate we have. Go through all of the downsizing, go through all the efficiency projects, go through all of that. It's a challenge from a leadership perspective. You just have to be okay with the ride. I keep going back to that. And it just suits sports so well. And it just kind of mimics what we're going through as an industry. I also think that more an industry trend is that as technology has become commoditized, and leagues have started to really take over their own streaming capabilities and their direct-to-consumer our power lies still in distribution and developing content. And that's where we're going to spend our time, which is on the Max product, right? And that makes sense. And as an industry, you're seeing a lot of us and our competitors really leaning heavily in direct to consumer. There's a lot more to come there. So we can talk probably the rest of the half hour on that.
I was going to ask about direct to consumer challenges, because it is the industry direction, and you have to figure out how it complements, drives new, maybe potential revenue streams. There was that attempt with Bleacher Report Live, and now there's Max. So is that, and you do that with March Madness Live, of course, and very well. So do you see that, or anything else that you can tell us that's coming in the very near future? Shaka, you were going to improve that question?
Just again, for the global audience, formerly HBO Max, now it's a global brand, right? HBO Max was more of a US-centric type of direct-to-consumer, if I'm not mistaken. There were a few versions of it outside, but it was...
There were, yeah. This is definitely more global.
Yeah, and now Max is a global brand with a huge portfolio of quality content. And now, first steps in sports. There is sports there, but now improving it and making it the best direct-to-consumer sports experience, I think that's what we're starting to see and what's being worked on. And if I misrepresented everything as you see it, then correct me, but that's what I'm seeing right now.
Definitely. No, I think we've just dipped our toe into sports for Max. The team and we know there is so much more to do. We're just barely starting, which is exciting. And right now, I will say that the Max team has been flooded with merging Discovery Plus with HBO Max and creating Max. And then they have to launch in EMEA and LATAM. And it's and right now. But as those things get under their belt, or, there you will see the depth into what we do in sports increase. And it'll be wonderful. I mean, it goes back to the way we create March Madness Live. We will be obsessed and kind of with this product and what sports is with this product and how to increase engagement and how to increase audience. And I'm really excited about developing that more.
So I think, as you said, Max is a very good potential to be a key player in that process that will happen. And we don't know who else. There's going to be very strong players. It's going to be a jungle out there, right? And Max is in a prime position to be that, because it's not just about sports. Sports is a very big part, but you need to bring some, you need to have, I don't know if I'm translating it right, but to have a long bench. Does that translate right? From a basketball game?
Yeah, but deep
yeah, bench. That's what it is. Bench. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think JB has a word for it, but it's really around having the diversity of content there so that you can attract all types of viewers. And I think we're still working on that at Max, right? I think Netflix it started very general. It got kind of niche with House of Cards and all those that wonderful programming, but it stayed general. And we need to get, we're still kind of bending HBO, which is awesome. Oh my God. Like, look at the Emmys the other night. Holy cow, dominant. But we probably need to build out that general audience a little bit more in that library.
And I'll add to all this challenge that the global view of this is going to be even much more complicated, because the rights fragmentation and the behavior in each market is very, very different. If you're going to get American sports fans used to paying, it's not going to be as easy to do it in Brazil or in Mexico or in Europe. So very different challenges.
I agree. I'd like to just to give a slightly different angle to this. A lot of times the Americans maybe don't understand it, but the U.S., can't be looked at as a country in this context. It's more like a continent, because you have the different individual markets and you tailor to different markets and different segments, and it will be much more similar to Europe than it is similar to England in this context, right? So if you wrap your head around how to provide it to the US continent, quote unquote, then you are primed to do it globally. Obviously, it's a bigger challenge, but it's scaling the challenge that you've had to rule the national arena in the US.
Talk about national rights versus regional.
I'm saying that is one aspect on how the US is very different than any other country.
Yeah,
that is one side
for sure. And now with the Amazon news yesterday with Diamond, like it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up. Can you give us maybe a teaser or something that you're looking forward to in 2024-5 with Max or maybe one of the other products or maybe something for March Madness 2024? What's coming? Give us a...
Sure. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm super excited. I'm always excited for March Madness, but we're doing stories. I think the stories format with you, I think we're all super excited about that. I was so happy to see that.
So, Hania, I'm going to see you again in 4 weeks' time at the NBA All-Star. Let's set some time to also chat. I want to show you the creator economy and generative AI stuff that we're working on, enabling to power some of the things that you guys are going to be challenged with soon. So I want to show you some stuff.
Yeah, and hopefully our listeners will be able to see it towards the end of the year.
Nice.
Is there anything you want our listeners to be on the lookout to follow you or follow the products that you bring to market? Talked about some of them, but what do you want them to focus on?
Honestly, the Bleacher, you know, later on this year, I think that is, if you don't know Bleacher Report, it will be a great segue into learning a Bleacher Report. Very different type of audience and tone than, you know, an ESPN or a CBS Sports, which really do a great job kind of in the bread and butter. But Bleacher just is a different, it's got a little bit different personality. And so I'm very excited to see what we're going to do there and deliver on that.
Exciting stuff.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
All right. So there's a lot more to come. Warner Brothers Discovery is still an ongoing process, and it's going to be very interesting to see what you come up with. So it's great.
It is. Absolutely.
And good to see that, you know, talented people like you are at the helm and helping us fans to see the best content out there and to follow our sports teams.
Anya, thank you very much for this conversation. Been really, really interesting. Again, proud and excited to remain longstanding partners of yours and continue doing, trying to help you innovate with all the great challenges that you're facing. And thank you very much for joining us and doing this today.
Thank you all. It's been a pleasure. Great to see you. We'll see you soon.
The same.
Sure.
Aviv, it's so much fun that we get to have these interesting conversations with great professionals, right? Hania is great.
Right. It's been a long while since we got to catch up. So it was really good to hear all that, to get our perspective. Really interesting and exciting stuff. And coming up for March Madness.
Just to notice how much they push the edges of innovation and the product experience. So Hania is the key player in that effort for WBD, and she's been that for many years now. So it's great to work with her and with that amazing team. And looking to do other things and waiting to see what they're going to come up with. It's a very interesting time.
Definitely a lot coming up. Okay. So
all right, till next time.
Till next time.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a review or share the show with a friend. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so now so that you never miss a new episode. We're your hosts. I'm Shaka.
And I'm Aviv. We are the Arnon Brothers, and this has been Sports Content Kings by WSC Sports. Thank you all for joining and looking forward to seeing you here again.